welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys, and many, 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 many years ago, there were three little wise guys who decided to get together and start this show, you know, start this conversation piece. And that's all the way back in 2010, I believe.
Wow.
Which is a long time ago. And, you know, currently most of you have been listening to, you know, the Tuckster, Tuck, you know, and Aaron who are joining me. And as you know, my name is Roland. But before that, we had a man by the name of Rick, and we had a man by the name of Michael.
Yes.
And so here they are today. And, you know, it's interesting. I was at a men's retreat this last weekend, and guess who shows up? Michael shows up all the way from Colorado, and we start talking, and we say, you know, hey, you know, wouldn't it be kind of fun to just kind of bring the original three back in and just talk about where you've been, what you've been doing, and, you know, give us a flavor of what's been going on. So here I'm looking at two wonderful guys that are dedicated to Yahweh and have given their lives to him and minister in everyday life. So I want to just thank you guys for coming on. Mr. Rick, how are you?
Hey, rejoicing. This is the day Yah's made. Let's rejoice.
I know, right?
Amen.
Be glad. So we're going to do that today, and we're going to rejoice. So
oh, man, and Michael.
We'll be back home.
Wow. It is.
Where's all the years gone?
They've gone, doesn't it? That's the point.
My granny would always say, time and tide waits for no man.
It doesn't.
That's right.
I'm seeing it right now. Man in the mirror. Oh, my word. Michael, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm awesome. I'm doing great.
Yeah.
This is, I think you had a ponytail when we started.
I did.
You still have a ponytail?
No, I don't.
And I don't remember. I don't think I had a beard when we started.
And you still have a beard.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I grew it. Took me 10 years. It's awesome. It's great to be in Oregon, visiting friends and family. It's great to be back on the Wise Guys show. And I remember the name came from not just the chokmah, the wisdom that we share with our viewers, but the corny jokes.
Yes.
And I look forward to sharing both of those today.
Yeah, we almost went with Wise Guys Burgers and Fries.
No.
We had to drop that because not all of us ate meat.
That's right.
I remember there was also the Three Stooges.
Oh, yeah, right.
Three Musketeers. We had a lot of goofy names.
Three Amigos.
Yeah, that's right. Three Blind Mice.
The people that listen.
Stooges?
Decide the name.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We did a vote.
We did a vote.
The Three Stooges just didn't make
it. Dinnerworm didn't make it, you know. But I think the three wise guys, because the philosophy is wise guys, okay, actually look into something. They study, they research, and they try to find answers. And that's what we try to do in a roundabout way.
Yeah.
You know, in a roundabout way. So let's
lighthearted.
Lighthearted way, because we need some humor in this life, I would think.
Oh, man.
You guys, if we can't laugh and smile, and
we might as well be Catholic.
So, yeah, no, we're going to be people, I believe, all the way to the finish line, guys.
That's right.
That we're going to be able to laugh and smile.
Amen.
Even though we know that what the word tells us, it's going to be a tumultuous time before it's over. But we look up.
Yeah.
Our redemption draws nigh. So,
wow.
Happy day.
So bring me up to date, you guys. I know. He just boy, does that bring back memories,
happy
right?
Happy day, guys, back. Yes. You know, because it is a happy day. Some things don't.
Every day for you is a happy day, Rick.
Well, some days are happier than others. But, yeah, it's always.
And this is a new studio, too. This is a new setting. I've never done
like
the wise guys here.
It's kind of cozy.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
We used to be next to a disco hall next to a Chuck E. Cheese.
That's right.
And now we're in the middle of the forest. This is kind of fun.
And we could hear the thump, thump, thump going on, you know?
Yeah, you remember that?
Boom, oh, yeah.
Boom, yeah. Hey, but bring me up to date, you guys, because I'm just kind of curious, and the audience is going to be curious about what have you been doing with yourself, okay? You know, since
I'm going to let Mike go first.
Yeah.
I'm going to let Rick go first.
No, I mean, Rick, you were on with us all the way up, what, till 2000?
About 3 years ago. I think it was right around 3 years this fall that, we decided we were going to put our house, our farm on the market.
Right.
And the father says, no, not
yet.
It is not right. Mm-hmm. Here we are almost three years later, and we're still just seeking his faith. You know what I love, you guys?
Tell me.
I just love that I don't have to know everything, but I know the one that does.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, brings comfort to my soul, knowing that. I don't have to wonder what, we all just put the day in our King's hands, and he guides us in each and every step.
Okay.
And it's just so comforting to my soul that I don't need to know, as long as I know the one that does. So
I'm kind of curious. I mean, time doesn't stop, right?
No, time keeps going.
So does your faith get stronger the older you get, or are you just more wise? I mean, what's going on?
I think the only way you can really, I think wisdom comes from living life.
Okay.
To learning that really we are not in control.
Really? Yeah.
You know, I when I was younger, you guys.
Now quit looking at Michael, right?
Looking at
this again.
Mike's the youngster still. You're still well, and you're barely in your 30s.
I'm
right?
Old.
You're barely mid 30s.
35.
Yeah, I'm gonna say you're mid 30s now.
Oh my word.
Yeah,
oh,
I think you were.
He's almost 20. Old enough to be a real wise
agent.
Guy.
So yeah, it's the longer you live, though. The more you realize that, again, we are not in control.
Wow.
But the beauty is of the one that is. And that, again, just brings that peace that passes. You can't, you guys, I don't think you can have that if you don't know that. You really can't have that peace unless you know the giver of life.
Right on.
Don't you agree with that?
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, so over the last 3 years, what have you been learning the most? Just that, or do you?
No, yeah, I mean,
or is it just that?
To hurry up and wait, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, and it's just the father has. I think we've had our house on the market at least once for almost a year now.
Wow.
We're back almost a month going into it again. So we'll see. You know, It's just, I don't know what's going to happen later today.
Okay.
Yet, next week or next month. So I just rest. The Father knows the future, and that's all I need to know. And again, that brings that peace that passes all understanding. And, yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, that's where we're at. And, it's been a wonderful journey. Our faith is being stretched.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the unknown, you know, but I look at our father Abraham, what did he say? Abba told him, I will take you to a land that I will show you.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't tell him where he was going.
Right.
He just says, trust me, each and every step, and I will take you. And Abraham did, and we be able to, as his people, do the same. And that's going to be the way it is as we go into this wilderness journey, I believe. As this thing unfolds, we know we're going to go into the wilderness before we get to the kingdom.
But you're practicing the journey right now.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Every day is a test. And don't we all want Abba to write this page today? Write in our book today.
So is that why you always use the term, oh, happy day?
It is, yeah, well, I have a, yeah. People say, why do you always say that? Because it's true. It's a happy day.
And if you choose.
Definitely happier than others.
Yeah.
We all, there's always bumps in the road. But again, I always go back to look upward, our redemption. I mean, we all these things must come on the earth before he returns.
Wow.
So, again, it's a happy day.
Well, thanks for filling us in, Rick. Michael, you know, when you say, what, you're 35?
Yeah.
So that means when you first joined us, you must have been only like 25, 27, like what?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, you were the young guy on the show.
I was.
Yeah, but no longer.
I guess not.
Yeah, because now you're actually at the legal age to be a rabbi.
Go to prison for not paying taxes.
I know, right?
It's wonderful.
Yeah. Okay, so bring us up to date, Michael. What has been happening with you?
It's nothing new.
Nothing new?
No. Well, I've been living in, you know, beautiful Colorado Springs. This September, so next month, will be 7 years. And of course, the Father gave us a sevenfold mission plan.
Doesn't seem like that's been seven.
No.
Isn't really?
That crazy? Yeah. 2015.
No way.
Yeah. So September 2015 is when we moved out there, and the Father gave us this sevenfold mission plan to serve his kingdom out there. And out of the seven things, we have about 6.5 of those things done.
Wow.
So I should have these seven things done in 7 years. And then who knows what's next? Well, I know who knows what's next. But, you know, we're back into therapeutic, actually now treatment, foster care in Oregon. Short version is the federal government, what did I do there? I was from Georgia for a second. I was in Georgia last month. Rubbed off on me. But the federal government last 2020, they had a federal mandate to close all orphanages in America, and they call them group homes now, but they're orphanages, and they're almost done. About 99% of those are closed across the country. So there was a really big need to take in teens, and of course we did therapeutic foster care here in Oregon for 4 years before we moved, and so doing it in Colorado, it just seemed like the right time. Maria has got a cleaning company, commercial residential cleaning company that's doing really well in Colorado. Colorado's dirty, so we got to clean it up. And I'm now ordained as a rabbi, Messianic rabbi through the UMJA.
Yeah.
We just had that conference in Georgia, and it's a really great organization. We have the Olive Tree Messianic Synagogue in Colorado Springs, and we're a growing congregation. We're actually made up of several congregations that merged together. When's the last time you've heard of Messianic and Hebrew Roots congregations that merged together?
Not often.
Well, we've got leadership from about 6 different congregations
that
all said we will no longer allow things like calendar and how to pronounce a name or kippah or no kippah or whatever. We will no longer allow these to divide us.
Hallelujah.
When Yeshua said, I come not but for to regather the lost sheep of Israel, we said we're done playing the denomination game.
Right.
Other than that, I just retired from being a kitchen designer. Done that for about a decade and did a lot of sales with that. So I'm doing some business coaching, holistic coaching with people and businesses, but that is very minimal. I'm just helping to build a Messianic yeshiva, state accredited, doctorate's level. We're going to be putting it all online. This is going to take us about a year to do, and I'm working with the yeshiva, and then I'll go through it myself to get my own doctorates, and I'll get it for free for working for the yeshiva. That's great. Nice. The Jewish college, of course. Trying to think, what else is new?
Well, that's kind of a playful.
Yeah.
You know, but for those of you who haven't seen Mike, you know, he does look like a chef. I think that's probably one of his pastimes and passions. If I remember right, you like to cook, right?
I won Best Sandwich of Willamette Valley. I think it was 19. I had my first restaurant. It was downtown Salem, so. Yeah. No, I love cooking. I love cooking. I've been cooking for a long time, and then I sold high-end pots and pans for a little while, and then I've been designing kitchens for a decade. Yeah. So Maria keeps saying, you just can't leave the kitchen. I said, that's where they keep the food. But I'm a state-licensed trauma specialist. I've got over 60 licenses and certifications now to work with people in trauma. And that's been really, really big on my heart lately, is helping people. It's everyone. If you lived in the last 3 years on this planet, you have a little bit, at least a little bit, of PTSD.
Yeah.
And if you don't, It'll come. Don't worry. And so what I'm finding is people in ministry and business and relationships often have mental limitations based off of what we call early conditioning, childhood trauma. And so we're working with people in Colorado and globally now. And I've won an award for public speaking. I'm traveling about every month and speaking all over the country now, via Zoom, speaking in Pakistan, a Muslim country, of course, and working with people all around the world. And we're really helping people get past these childhood traumas that mess with their identity. And I just published my first book called The Unwind, and I speak a lot about identity and how important that is. And do we have an identity crisis in this country?
Speaking of that, you know, not only do we have that in the country where people are confused on who they are, families trying to decide who they are, people trying to decide, but it even happens within our congregations. And I'm glad you brought up, Michael, the congregations that sometimes struggle with what they perceive as being identity. And so we want to talk about that today. I mean, exactly what is it? You know, to kind of get this thing rolling.
Rolling.
You know, but when I was, when we first started this show and I was reaching out, I saw Rick and I knew Rick. And I knew Rick for his warmness of heart, okay? And I knew Rick had this kind of peace about him and this joy. And I go, you know, that'd be great to do a show with Rick.
And then you needed a comic relief.
Okay, and then I saw, then I saw a video of this so-called kid in his 20s. He was doing cartwheels on this video. And he was doing...
Who was?
You.
Are you doing cartwheels?
You were doing a cartwheel and doing some sort of analogy with some sort of biblical scripture thing. And I go... that's it.
I don't remember that. It you sounds know? Right, but I don't remember.
It was just great. You know, but right now, let's, you know, we have a guest that's going to be coming on at 8:30 with us that's going to talk about her identity just a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, but before we proceed any further, we're just going to ask you just to take a break with us, okay? Slow it down, take a breath. I'm going to ask Rick to give a prayer over us. And then we're going to get into this. What is the identity? What are we called to do? All right? Rick, start us off, would you?
Precious Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that you and your love for us, Father, you got our attention and you brought us to yourself. You forgave every sin and every iniquity of that we had committed and of our forefathers. Father, we thank you that you have brought us all to where we are today. We're all works in progress, Abba. We need you. We need you so much. And all we have is today. So we just ask you to take us today, that your name through your people, that we would be able again to give an answer for the hope that we have, that only comes from serving you. Bless our time. Give us the words to say. Strengthen your people. Edify them. Bless them. And Father, we bless you because you, again, have touched us in a way that only the Creator of the universe could. Through Yeshua Messiah, our King, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, our Redeemer. We thank you and we praise you. We exalt you. We commit this time to you, that your name, through our time together, will be glorified and exalted and lifted up. In Yeshua's holy, precious name, we thank you. Amen.
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 You know, there's a great man that we all listen to, Jordan Peterson, you know, which to me is just one of the greatest people I've ever heard speak. And he says it's, you know, everyone wants to change the world, right? Everyone wants to do this. He says, but you can't do it until you clean your own house first.
Yep.
Okay? That's where it starts. So what I'm curious about, because both of you guys are coming with different perspectives right now and where you've been. When we talk about our own house, and since we're talking to mostly to people, that are, have Hebrew roots or Messianic roots connected to them, what is a need? I mean, when you look at Hebrew root congregations, Messianic congregations, what is their identity crisis? What do they struggle with in trying to figure out?
How long is the show?
I know, right? this is what's going to be really cool, because we have a lady coming on here at about 8:30, okay? And she's going to talk to us about her own personal journey, and then we're going to follow up after her talk, like at 9, and we got another hour, Mike, so don't worry. But right now, I want you guys to give me a succinct response, because we only have about 7 minutes. I know, right? Maybe it's humor. I don't care. But what's the identity crisis in this Torah movement, this Torah challenge, that people want to get into? Where's our problem? Maybe I want to get there. Who wants to go first? Mike?
To get there, I want to read the Wikipedia definition of identity.
Good.
And it's going to tell us what we have and what we don't. Identity. The fact of being who or what a person or thing is. Example, he knows the identity of the bombers. I don't know why that's an example. That's a terrible example.
The identity of the bombers?
But let's make it personal and get rid of the what or thing aspect of it, because we're not talking about that as much as we're talking about the people.
Yeah.
The fact, or I could say the truth, mm-hmm. of being who a person is. Now, let's say, that seems pretty, what if you're a dad, you're a dad. If you're a manager, you're a manager.
Sure.
Right? If you're sleeping, you're snoring. There's these facts, truths of who one is.
I actually got to hear you.
You did?
Yeah.
I heard you snore, too.
Snore, yeah.
Yeah. You started, I really took over, but,
sorry.
Yeah, just don't accuse me of sawing logs on Shabbat, because I don't want to break Shabbat, but... Man.
I know, right?
Anyway, so we shared a cabin the other day, but I wasn't going to go there. And Ben with his white noise.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that kept me up, because I got to play white noise to sleep. I said, let me give you some white noise. Anyway, so the succinct answer is identity is wrapped up in truth and fact.
Mm-hmm.
It's the state of being, but often it can be true or fact to a person, but not true or a fact in anybody else's mind.
Mm.
So we have two types of truths. Absolute truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yah sets absolute truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we have, what we all live with, is perspective truth.
Mm-hmm.
There's the old thing where somebody takes chalk and draws a number 6 on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. And somebody walks up, what number is this? It's a 9.
Yeah.
What about you? It's a 6. No, it's a 9. What is the absolute truth? Is maybe he was drawn as a 6, but what is the perspective truth to the other guy? It's a 9 because he's standing on the other side of the sidewalk.
It's a perception.
So yeah. What happens when that perception is incorrect? What happens when that perception is built upon false pretenses and childhood trauma? What happens when somebody says, well, I'm a Gentile believer? To them, that is a fact.
Uh-huh.
That is a perspective truth. But to us, we go, okay, Gentile comes from the Latin gentilis, similar to the Greek ethnos, where we get the word ethnic, and goy in Hebrew. All of them mean pagan. I'm a pagan believer.
I'm a pagan believer.
You're awake, you're happy, sad, you're divorced, married, you're hungry, full. And you gotta pick one, buddy. And so to us, in our perspective, no, you're not a Gentile believer. You're grafted in,
mm-hmm.
or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You get two options.
Mm-hmm.
But to them, for some reason, that's a truth. And their entire faith can be based on this thing that is perspective truth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in many of our lives, it's not even as important to us what is truth,
mm-hmm.
but what is truth to us.
Mm.
And people say feelings don't matter. Get over it. Your feelings don't matter. Feelings drive human existence.
Mm-hmm.
Feelings are the human experience and expression, and it often can be true and often can be untrue.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have an untrue or an unfactual identity, state of being that is disruptive, you have what I would call an identity crisis, specifically here in the Messianic movement, where we're doing our best.
We can come right back to you guys. Hang on tight.
listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the Nations.
Good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the Wise Guys. I'm sitting here with two wonderful wise guys, Michael and Rick. But we also have a wonderful wise woman that is joining with us right now.
Wise gals.
And wise gals, right? And I just love this lady. She's been a servant of Yahweh for many years, and she wraps her arms around people and gives them love and hugs and draws people to the foot of the cross. This was why I just really wanted to talk with her this morning, you guys, and because we're talking about identity, we're talking about maybe what is the Hebrew roots, messianic groups, what do they struggle with? You know, why do we see a lacking of the Spirit? Why do we see confusion in knowing who we are and then being confident about it? You know, the minute someone maybe talks differently, or maybe there's a different teacher, and Michael, you're well aware of this, so are you, Rick, is that you'll have a person show up to church, right? And maybe they're not following the Torah exactly where they should be. And a person says to them, you're not following the Bible. This is the word. And then they say, well, I'm not going to come here anymore because that's, you know, no one's following the scripture, you know. And there's this identity thing, you know. So Leslie is a lady that's going through some healing right now. And when the Lord spoke to me, she said, you gotta bring this woman on. So good morning, Leslie. How are you? I hope everything's well.
Oh, I have been just so blessed. I'm telling you, I am changed. I'm renewed. I'm sold out. I have such peace, such calmness, such joy, and I would really love to share with you so much, but right now I'm just going to tell you all I'm so grateful that you got all the wise men back together again this morning. You know.
Well, thank you, Leslie.
And I love his body. I'm in love with his church. I'm in love with the people that are out in the world. I fell in love all over again.
So tell us about that, Leslie. Why are you falling in love again? What happened to you that it's making you come to this realization, and what are you finding out? So let's start first at the basics. What happened to you first?
Okay. I've had a lot of hurts in my life and a lot of pain, and I've carried it in my marriage, and I've seen little boys hurting and carrying it into their relationships, and he's opened my eyes to so many things. But first, let me start with praise to Yahweh, because this is all about him. It's not about me. It's his work that he's doing. He's wanting to clean up his bride. He says, you know, in a scripture, and I don't have all the scriptures with me, that is, you know, the bride has made herself ready, and I'm seeing so many people in the world and that are starting to make themselves ready. And I see factions going on in churches, and nobody wants to go to church because they get hurt and wounded by these people that haven't let down their, you know, they haven't given him their pain.
Mm.
So when I went to Tennessee, I found out I had, I had a bacterial infection, and I didn't know it. And I got really sick, you know?
Yeah.
And the father said, just trust me, I'm with you. And I said, okay, I trust you. So I went to Tennessee and I kept coughing and I couldn't quit. And my daughter said, Mom, I don't like that. I'm going to take you to urgent care. So long story short, you know, I went through antibiotics and I got rid of the stuff in my lungs. That's what I really needed to get my lungs clear. But this bacteria has gone into. Oh, then I went to a chiropractor because I needed help in my body. And they did a scan and found a really white aorta, aortic valve in my body that they said was all calcified with, you know, it just was showing up on the x-ray really white, and it never does that. And so this was really something that my daughter just shot fear, you know, and that fear from my childhood came right back into me. And then I went in the, she showed me stuff on the internet, and I walked into the garage and I said, Father, I know that you don't give us a spirit of fear, but you give us love and power and a sound mind. And I come to you right now and I ask you that you do a work that no man can do. I've been falling in love with you. I fell in love with your people in Tennessee. I fell in love with the whole place. Every place I'd look at, every person's lawn, every place we drove past, I fell in love with the people in there. I mean, I just fell in love. And I came back and I got bombarded by the enemy. Mm. And I'm like, well, that's okay, you know, because I know what you're doing in me, right? And then I saw all kinds of things happening all over. And I'm sorry, but, you know, this shouldn't happen in any congregation, in any church, in any family.
Mm-hmm.
So what he told me when I was going through the struggle, because I came to Redmond and I was in a spiritual battle, I didn't realize what I had walked into. I thought I came for a place of healing, and I walked into a spiritual battle that was really strong.
Mm-hmm.
And so he kept waking me up in the morning, and he'd say, Watchman, what of the morning? And I'd like, what? What are you talking about? Father, show me what you want. And he goes, Watchman, the second morning, what of the morning? So, I mean, my friend had a book that said, Yahweh. You know, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, divinely powerful. And I gleaned some stuff out of the book. I don't, you know, read a lot of books that I don't agree with. And some of the stuff I was like, I don't know, I'll put that away later. But he showed me, Watchman, what of the morning? There's a girl that has been hurt and encountered pain. And she, you know, ran into a place where she could be... where the pain wasn't so great. And, you know, she came to Yeshua and, you know, this is me. I was hurt. I was wounded. I was, you know, made fearful. When I came to Yeshua, when he saved me when I was 23 years old, I gave him everything. I went through 2.5 weeks. I'm not kidding you, Roland. 2.5 weeks. Of repentance.
Wow.
And forgiveness and letting all the people that had hurt me, you know, my parents, my brothers, my family, everything, I put them at his feet and he, you know, did that work in me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got in relationships and, you know, I got more hurt and more pain and all that stuff from my childhood started coming back.
Wow.
And I'm like, wait a minute. So I'm in Tennessee, and I'm like, Father, you've got to do something. And then so here I'm in Redmond, and he's telling me, Watchman of the what of the morning. And then I come to, and Cherie comes to help me, and then she sees the situation, says, oh, you could come stay at my house. I'll put a tent out in the yard. You can have a place to go to get away. On Shabbat, I started telling her my story because I felt led to just tell her what I had gone through. And when I did, my pain left my body and my face firmed up. She said, oh, my word, Leslie, your face is firming up.
Hmm.
I'm like, what? And I looked at my throat, and my throat has been, you know, really crepey. And I looked at my throat, and my throat's firming up. So I go to bed, you know. And I wake up in the morning, and I'm thinner than when I when I went to bed. I'm like, Father, what are you doing? And he said, I'm restoring what the canker worm has eaten. And I'm, Roland, I'm blown away.
Yeah.
Blown away.
Now, do you, you know, you
know him all about his bride. You know, he wants to clean up his bride. He's really, you know, so go ahead.
What does that mean? I mean, because you'd also told me that you were having trouble seeing, that you had to wear contacts, and then the next day that you weren't. And now you're seeing some things, and some of the things that you told me that you were seeing was this need within congregations to
start. Yes, and now he's a, yeah.
What is that need?
Congregation? Okay. I have seen things come into our congregation. And I've seen marriages falling apart. And I've seen people backbiting, and I've seen slander, and I've seen people come against the leadership, and I've seen people railing accusations that, you know, do not belong in a body of Messiah. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
And I've been grieved in my spirit, and I've just been praying and asking the Father, what do you want? What are you doing? What do you want? And this is the message he's given me, and he wants me to go into the churches and into the groups and tell them, you've been hurt, you've been wounded. You need to come and ask Yeshua to take that pain away from you and forgive yourself.
So you feel there's maybe a spirit of unforgiveness which actually causes some of these things that you see, and they need to deal, okay?
It's not only unforgiveness of people, you know, like somebody shared with me, you know, like, oh, well, my mother, it's her fault. She has to come and ask me for forgiveness.
Yeah.
No. No, I'm sorry, but it says if your brother has aught against you, not you have aught against your brother, but your brother has aught against you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're to go to that brother and say, hey, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I had no clue I was doing that. Or I had no, you know, really, it was not my intention.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we get other people to hear our point of view. I'm sorry, but we do. And then we get a spokesman to come and push that point of view. And we've seen it. We've seen it with people banding on one side or the other because someone had, you know, rabble-roused. And that's not to be done. Hmm. He's grieved. He is so grieved.
So what causes that to happen? You'd first start to say that it's usually hurt that people have, and that when they have not given over that hurt, they end up not in their true identity. It's maybe a different identity. Can you explain
a different identity? Because what happens is the enemy, you know, I mean, I'm telling you, when we are born and we are placed in the womb and he puts his spirit in us and we are his, we are marked for the enemy to start abusing us. And he will. And he does. And from the womb sometimes, and I was praying one time for a baby or a woman, and I saw these spirits trying to attack this baby in the womb, trying to come into this little infant in the womb, and it was trying to get away, trying to get away from these demons. So he's really showing me a lot of what's going on. Churches and families, and there's brokenness everywhere. Brokenness.
Leslie, hang on just for a minute, because I'm going to bring in Michael and Rick to this conversation just for a minute, because we were just now talking about perceptions and how do people perceive themselves just before the break. And what I'm gathering, and I see, Michael, I want to see what your response is on this, because you've dealt with some of the trauma areas, and then Rick, and, you know, just give a short response, because I only have Leslie till about 9. But let's, how would you... When a person's been really hurt, can their perceptions be skewed against another person? You know, and you're hearing Leslie talk about this, and I think Leslie herself is learning to forgive herself and learning to move forward and looking at the Messiah in a different way and even looking at the church in a different way. You know, she's seen brokenness, bitterness, which all brings about accusations, brings about, you know, division. Does that happen? What do you guys think? I mean, Michael, you've seen this with trauma. What do you think with what she's saying? Can you just give me a response?
Yeah, I mean, it's when you go through an experience. Here's an example. A guy works for a company, and the boss doesn't pay him. Let's say it's a house painting company. The guy doesn't pay him. Eventually, he leaves. You know, bad taste in his mouth at that company. But let's say he has the opportunity to work for a different painting company.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh, I'll never work for a painting company again. Those guys will jip you of 6 months of pay and this, you know. So that is that true that every painting company is not going to pay you
mm-hmm.
because one did? It sounds kind of crazy, but we do this all the time. And we get to this point where when somebody's sharing the gospel with you, Besorah Tova, and they come and they say, God is a loving father. And how many people in this country, father to them is a cuss word?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Because he abused me, or he did this.
Exactly. Or many of us in this messianic, full Hebraic messianic spectrum faith sect, it is...
The Christian church hurt me.
Oh yeah, the church lied. The pastor lied to me. The Vatican is anti-Semitic, and they kept the truth from me, and they preach against the Torah and all these things. And so when someone says, "Hey, come visit my church. We have a potluck kind of thing," all we think of is these negative connotations.
All the bad things.
Maybe we're supposed to. Maybe the father is wanting to experience something or share an experience with somebody, but post-traumatic stress syndrome is really anything where your mind relives a situation as if it's happening now that affected you and gave you trauma before.
Okay, so let's hang on with that for a minute. Leslie, you had told me yesterday when I talked with you about how you learned personally to forgive and your eyes were open. Can you just explain that just a little bit more? And then I'll have Rick jump in.
Sure. You know, I had probably PTSD when I was young because, you know, I was made to watch a sacrifice and told I'd be next. That puts fear in a child. Fear. I mean,
that'll do it.
Extreme fear. And, you know, the Father's delivered me from all my fears. You know, he's done amazing work. And he's done work all along since I've been a believer. And he's brought me to this place. Okay. Mm. Now, he said, I want you, because I've been pushed down by my family. I've been, you know, second fiddle to all my sisters, you know.
Yeah.
I've done ministry, but I've always been the one that gave them the thing, and then they said the word. Or in deliverance, I'd ask my mother how many, and she'd tell me. See, I mean, I've always been with women that were strong, and, you know. So now he's bringing me into who he wants me to be, who I am in him.
Mm.
And I'm finding who I am. And I'm like, wow. I remember when I was just saved, I was like this. But, you know, what happens is you get in relationships or you get in churches and you get in, you know, I mean, the church didn't hurt me. There were people that were hurt from their childhood that hurt you. There were people that were hurt in their childhood that railed against you. I mean, this is all stuff that the Father wants to bring healing.
Wow. And so you are seeing that you are more than just the hurt child is what I'm getting from you, that there's something more he wants you to have rather than your body reacting to the negative past or even your spirit reacting to the negative past. He's saying what I'm getting from you, he's wanting you to move forward. He's wanting you to move on and find your identity in him and not in your pain. Is that a good summary, am I missing that?
No, there's more, because see, he has me wanting to go into these churches and tell them about the pain that they've had as children that's making, you know, the stuff go on in their churches. These things that he said, watchmen, what of the morning? There's girls, there's boys, there's groups. Okay, we get hurt as a child. We're growing in Messiah, but there's still pain and there's still hurts along the road, right? Mm-hmm. And so, not that fear that from my childhood, you know, I mean, I had some things, and, you know, when you have a brother killed with a sword and your parents and your dad commits suicide, then your brother commits suicide, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things I've had to deal with in my walk, and he's always been there helping me along the way and giving me healing along the way, right?
Yes.
And then when I need to get more healing, he says, oh, good, now you're ready. I separated you from all this stuff. I've put you in a safe place. Now you're going to be healed. Now I'm going to bring total healing. I'm going to bring your mind, your spirit, your body, your everything you are in line with me. Mm. And he did it when I was first saved, and he's done it again. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing, but he's empowered me. I feel so big. I mean, I feel 10, 20 feet tall.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And it's all him. It's all about what he wants. You know, when I said, I am yours, you know, and when I said, put my all, you know, my ear to the doorpost, you know, when we all did,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're indentured. We don't belong to ourselves. We only belong to him.
Mm-hmm.
We're not our own.
Mm.
You know, we've been bought with the price of the blood of Messiah. When you think about what he went through to buy us back. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You all know, about him. You had told me that you would not change this for the world right now. I mean, there are many people that are praying for you. There are many people that are here supporting you. And they're probably all thinking, man, it's just be really tough for Leslie to be in this position of health. But you told me yesterday that you would not change this for the world. Can you tell me why?
Well, because this, you know, I don't go through anything that, the body is not going through. He showed me that a long time ago, that when I'm going through something, I pray for the people all over the world, because we all are going through it. There's nothing that we go through that is for our own. Everybody's going through it. And his body is going through it, I'm telling you. And we all need healing, and we all need to come to surrender, to give him everything. You know, so he gets all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, because, you know, we're not our own.
Hmm. You know, I have just a couple more minutes with you, Leslie, and I just want to ask you this question. You said something to me. You said one of the problems within many of the Hebrew roots, messianic groups, is, and people wonder why, well, where's the spirit? And you were telling me, well, the spirit can't reside when people are accusing, fighting, carrying this hurt around. Can you just give me a short response to that?
Okay, well, I've been in my own walk. I've been used of him. I've asked him, you know, what do you want? And he said, I want you to go hug somebody and give them his love, you know.
Hang on tight, Leslie.
Welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001, 503-967-3001. His people and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. We were just at the top of the break, and Leslie got cut off, and I just feel terrible about that. So we're going to ask Leslie to just stay on for just a little bit longer so she can explain what she was talking about there. And, you know, it's it is interesting, you guys, that many times, you know, we started this show off talking about perceptions and how people see things. And we know that perceptions can many times be skewed by your background. What have you felt? What have you gone through? What hurts have you dealt with? And then we see things in different ways. But I think Leslie's asking us to go a little bit deeper than that. She's asking us to really find that identity in the Messiah, forgive, start in the house first, which means your own personal house, which means to forgive yourself, accept his healing power. And in that way, you can maybe understand someone else. Leslie, I know you got cut off just before the break, and I just wanted to give you a chance to fill us back in on that. So can you go ahead, please?
Okay. When I started on this journey, you know, with the sickness, he brought me along with these strong women, okay?
Yeah.
Judy's a strong woman, and she was doing some energy work with me, which gets your energy going back in your body, because I was shut down. I didn't have any energy flowing up my meridians at all. Nothing. My legs, nothing. None. I was shut down. And so I have viruses and bacteria and, boy, you name it. I think my body's got it.
Yeah, you do.
This stuff, you know? And he told me he was going to take care of me, but let me go back to where my identity is, okay?
Uh-huh.
I've always known who I am in Messiah, and I even asked him, what do you want me to wear today, Father? What would please you, you know, what would make you happy for me to wear? And then he would show me what to wear. And I started with, you know, Father, what do you want me to eat, you know? What do you want me to speak? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to love people? You know, I mean, my heart goes out to these people out there in the world that are hurt, lonely, deserted, because, look, they've been hurt in churches. They've been hurt in congregations, and they won't go anywhere because they're hurt.
Yeah.
So he's shown me that, you know, you have to come to a place where you are willing to let him, and I'm telling you, when I laid on the floor after this energy work, he was telling me to rub my face and rub my ears and my eyes and my, get it all down my body, and he was cleaning out my cells.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all those things he was cleaning out of my cells, all those memories from my childhood. Now I can talk about it, and there's no pain.
Wow.
There's no, yeah. I mean, I was talking to Sheree about it, and she said, is this painful? And I said, no, there's no pain. It's like he took it away.
Hmm.
I mean, took it away. The pain is gone, and now all I have is compassion, and my heart is broken for his people.
Hmm. Amen. Leslie, that's just a wonderful testimony, and it's amazing that this is now the second time we've heard this. We have someone in our congregation we interviewed him 2 weeks ago. He had been bedridden for 10 years. 10 years.
Yeah.
and he finally laid himself at the foot of the cross, humbled himself, and listened to the Lord's voice. And the Lord has not only is he walking around, Leslie, he came up. You weren't here on the weekend, but he was baptized. we did a mikvah with him. He's walking. He's eating. He's even jogging a little bit. He even went to the men's retreat. You know, so this is pretty amazing stuff, and we need to expect these things.
It is amazing stuff because he's cleaning up his bride.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on.
It's all about his bride, and there's people out there that are part of his bride that have been wounded and hurt. And, you know, he's given me this teaching. He's given me this download to go into people, and I could talk to people on the street, and he will set them free.
Right on.
You Leslie, know, because he wants to do this.
I love it, and I love you, and I want to thank you for sharing this testimony. Leslie, thank you for coming on with us this morning. Thank you for I just want to praise the Lord for what he's done in your life, and may you continue to be blessed today. Okay, lady?
Oh, yeah, I'm blessed every day. Thank you. You be blessed, too.
Okay. We'll see you later, yeah. Leslie. So long,
Leslie. All right,
see you, Leslie.
Bye-bye.
Love y'all. Bye.
Bye. Over the when Leslie was talking, I just want to read this text to you guys. It came to us. Just wanted to say how good it is to hear the wise guys. This testimony rings true. I had over 10 years of church wounds from trying to use my gifts in music. God shut that door for a greater good to reach more than a congregation. The rest of the world through the gospel of the kingdom at Hebrew Nation Radio and inner vision from Yeshua brought me a Christian congregation that accepted me as a messianic and has allowed me to worship there in spirit and in truth.
Wow.
And continue to be a light among the brethren. Wow. That is amazing. After much grief from the Christian and messianic church, God led me to my wife and helped me to experience emotion and joy again after years of a spirit of heaviness with depression. Hallelujah. When he freed me from Psalms with Psalms 13, it was like being born again. I could breathe without the weight on my heart and mind. Hallelujah. That text just came in.
That is so wonderful. The testimony of how that gentleman was touched, just like Leslie. Abba, that's his business. To set the captives free. And when we have that bitterness and those hurts that we carry, I think it really inhibits what he really wants to do in his people. And
so what about people? I mean, the people that point those fingers, that make the accusations, is there hurt there that still hasn't been resolved? What do you guys think?
I think we all got to be careful. We all got to fight the pride thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever I'm pointing fingers, you know, that's why I always say I want to keep my mirror out there. Who are you trying to kid? I know who you are.
Mm.
And Father, you know, we're all working. I think that's what living life. The older you get, the more you learn not to take yourself so serious.
Mm.
I was talking to you earlier, Ron. Mm. I used to somebody would offend me, I'd write them off.
Yeah.
You know, and boy, you start learning that, you know, that I can't do that.
Right.
That's why he commands in the Matthew 6, he says, if you do not forgive me, if you do not forgive, I will not forgive you.
Mm.
Wow, that's powerful.
Mm.
We better be a people that can humble ourselves and be able to forgive. You know, and it's usually the ones closest to us that offend us, isn't it?
Yeah, usually.
So usually it is.
Yeah.
So, boy, and if we can't, we're going to have a pretty miserable life if we cannot learn to forgive our, you know, fellow man.
This identity thing, I'm going to give you guys a text. I want to see what your reaction is to it, okay?
Oh.
Okay, so hang on. Just listen here really carefully. For you are all the children of Elohim.
What do you read? What did
this is Galatians 3:26-29.
Okay.
And I'll also read from Genesis 2. And I know some people are going, Galatians, that's the book of the heathen. But let's look at it carefully. For you are, it's Galatians 3:26-29. For you are all the children of Elohim by faith in Messiah Yeshua. For as many of you have been baptized into Messiah, have put on Messiah. So therefore, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Messiah Yeshua. And if ye by Messiahs, if you are Messiahs, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. His promise, and I'll take you back to this, and then you guys can tell me what you think. This is in Genesis now 22, 17 to 18. Here's the promise that was given to Abraham. Okay, are you ready?
Ready.
That in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of the enemies. Whoa! I've read this for years, you guys. Okay, that's the first time I've seen that. And your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. That's a loaded text. Okay, so how do you guys want to respond to this? You know, we started talking about identities, perceptions, and in Galatians we're finding out that we are all in the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
and that the blessing of Abraham comes to us through that Messiah. There are some key things here about the gates of the enemy that really hit me hard today, and also this thing about obeying the voice. I know when Abraham left, the Lord counted him as righteous because he obeyed.
His faith, yes.
Yeah. His faith counted him as righteousness. What does this have to do at all, if anything, to congregations, Hebrew roots, messianics, identity? And listening to what Leslie had to say, what's running through your guys' brains? What are you thinking? Who wants to go?
You know, the first many, many, many years ago on the Wise Guys show, I want to find the recording of the show, but we went through like the steps mm-hmm. of crossing over.
Oh, yeah, that's
and it
right.
was like anger, denial. It was like all these things. And it was, and then eventually there was this rest in this neither one pendulum swing or the other, but this peace. And that I realize now we were talking about identity the whole time, but when you look at the steps, you basically, maybe you're invited to a Passover Seder, maybe you're invited to a Shabbat service,
sure.
or maybe you see something, Jerusalem. Oh, and someone goes, oh, you know, that means something in Hebrew.
Yeah.
Jerusalem, mm-hmm. Yerushalayim. Oh, interesting. City of peace. And you know, well, what else is out there? And then all of a sudden you learn about maybe the origins of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe for you, Christmas was a major identity.
Right.
For many people, Christmas is Christian and Christian is Christmas.
That's correct.
And for any of us to just say, it's all pagan, just quit it, we are downplaying the fact that to many people it represents love and family.
Thank you.
And so,
yes.
Yeah. Easter, right?
Yes.
Maybe Easter is the one day of the year you get to see grandma. You know, whatever it is. So when you tell somebody, I remember many years ago I said to some, we were talking about the origins of Christmas and the pagan origins and everything, and the wife, you know, slaps her hands on the counter because she was listening for the kids. She goes, "You will never take Christmas away from my kids."
Uh-huh.
She thought it was an all-out attack.
Yeah.
Now, was I trying to do anything? No, her husband was asking me questions. We had a nice meal.
Yeah.
And that friendship had just ended, and we were best friends for a very long time.
Wow.
Now, I saw him many years later with a yarmulke and tzitzit, and he said, please come over for Shabbat dinner. Yeah. They found it on their own, yeah. right? But there's this identity of I am Christian, and then there's this identity of they lied to me.
Uh-huh.
Well, the reality is this. You've owned a Bible the entire time.
Yeah, you think?
It's your fault, not your pastor's fault. Take responsibility for you not reading the book.
Uh-huh.
Are they teaching lies? Well, yeah, it's prophesied.
Yeah.
Yeshua said this in Matthew. You know, he says the love of men will grow cold as they distance themselves from Torah.
Uh-huh.
And he says in the end of times, right? And it's like, we knew this was going to happen for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised. But the identity shift going from what a lot of people perceive as going from or converting from
mm-hmm.
Christianity to Hebraic roots or Messianic or Messianic Judaism, that they feel that there is a crossing over point. That's where a lot of people say, well, I'm a Hebrew because mm-hmm. I have crossed over. But the reality is it's not a conversion.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reversion.
Of how they're thinking.
Oh, absolutely. Because convert comes from the Latin converte.
Yep.
Means to stop and return.
Mm-hmm.
Where we get teshuvah, mm-hmm. right? And so you didn't convert to a new thing. You reverted to an old thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're doing is really chiseling away the things that are not of the Father in your life. And that identity is rock in your family. How many people do we know personally whose marriages have ended mm-hmm. when somebody started coming to Hebrews or Messiah?
Oh, a lot.
Or the kids won't talk to them anymore.
A lot.
Their parents won't talk to them anymore. They lose their job because they want to keep Shabbat. I mean, that one's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But there's all of these different things. And they go through a crisis, and all of a sudden, who am I? So if they read Batya Wooten's book, mm-hmm. Who is Israel, they might think, well, maybe I'm an Ephraimite.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they go with British theology, they might think, well, maybe I'm Jasher, maybe I'm Naphtali. Or if they go into the Messianic Jewish side, well, maybe I'm a Jew, or I'm mm-hmm. grafted into to the Jewish people. Or, these different things. And then we have this turmoil within the movement
mm-hmm.
where people want, I want to write a book. One house, two house, red house, blue house.
Yeah.
because it's that ridiculous. But of an argument. But the scripture is very, very, very clear. Jew or not Jew, right? That is not your identity anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Your identity is
in Messiah,
and your identity is grafted into Israel.
Mm-hmm.
A child of Abraham. And Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba,
Father.
Mm-hmm. With the whole people arguing about different ways to pronounce the name, there's one name that we should call him above all else, and it's Abba. And we can all agree on that. And hey, Yeshua, how should we pray? Avinu b'hashamayim, our Father.
Which art in heaven.
And Jewish prayers are not my Father.
Mm-hmm.
It's our Father. He's not my Messiah. He's Mishichenu. He's our Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
But this identity of sons of God
mm-hmm.
can't be taken from you from the world. You can lose your title as husband. You can lose your title as manager. You can lose your title as pastor or dean or rabbi or whatever. You can lose those titles because those are power. Power, mm-hmm. the ability to affect people, places, and things around you. But authority is the right to power. And that is in the kingdom. The one who created everything in existence with his song, with his words,
mm-hmm.
has called us sons, and no one can take that from us. And when that identity is set, and you're set in that,
mm-hmm.
man, no one can mess with you.
Yeah.
But when we allow others, when we don't take responsibility for our own emotions and mm-hmm. reactions, we allow other people to come at us and say, well, do you identify as Judah or Ephraim? Do you identify as Israel, or do you identify as a Judeo-Christian, this pronomian? And then they go, oh, well, wait a minute, maybe my identity is, maybe, not. And they start to lose that foothold of sons and daughters of the king.
Oh, stop. Okay, this get me majorly excited, because there's a picture that came to my mind. Maybe Rick is having it too. But if I've been a sailor all of my life, Michael, and then you take away my boat and tell me I have to be a construction man.
A land lover.
I've just lost my identity. I can't find my feet. I don't know how to do that. And I don't, and what amazes me is that we start going down this road. Oh, I've returned. I've crossed over. And therefore now I'm going to do all these new things that I've learned that maybe you ain't even ready for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Notice Abraham took a journey. All right. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm imagining that the woman that you're talking to about the Christmas thing, I don't think you were coming at her saying, you must keep Christmas.
Because, not at all.
Not keep Christmas because it is pagan. That is garbage.
I'm not pagan.
Yeah, I mean, that just throws someone in a complete turmoil. They don't know what to do because I just ripped their boat away from them.
Well, it's important to see, what do they hear? When we were, many of us were Christian, I have Jewish parents, but they're not practicing, out of practice.
Yeah.
And so, like, when I was a Nazarene pastor, I didn't think that I was going to win people to Christ and come to my Nazarene church. by being abrasive, by being gross, by screaming at them and preaching hellfire. And why do we think it's going to work in the messianic movement?
Yeah.
It's, I remember my grandma, she said, when I was talking to her, I said, Grandma, I'm not eating pork anymore. And my grandma, her maiden name was Isaac.
Yeah.
Very Jewish.
Yeah.
They fled the Holocaust and went to British Columbia. My Jewish Ashkenaz family, right? And she goes, Michael, are you telling me that you're not going to come have my Easter ham with us? And
oh, that's broken.
But what was my grandmother really saying?
Nothing to do with me.
You're not. I'm not going to see my grandson.
Uh-huh.
That's what she heard.
That's right.
And so, you know, like you can grab a dog, right? And I love this example. You can grab a dog and say, you hold it by the ears and you just really gentle, sweet voice.
Uh-huh.
You are the dumbest mutt on this planet.
Yep.
I can't believe we're probably going to get rid of you tomorrow. You're the dumbest animal. And then the dog's wagging its tail, but you grab its ears and you, I love you. You're the best dog ever. I couldn't ask for a better dog. And this dog's going to run and hide and pee on the carpet because it's not about what you said. It's about how you said
it.
And evangelism is not the strong suit of the messianic movement.
No.
And what it does is it taints the identity of people.
Yeah.
We have Torah and Yeshua. People should be knocking down our doors every Shabbat. The only thing in the way of the Torah and gospel at this point is us want and our screwing up of other people's identity because of our lack of identity and self-confidence as sons of the King.
And our lack of empathy because of that.
I'll come down.
I mean, if I'm truly healed, this is a message that I heard from Leslie.
Right.
She's experiencing this healing. And now what did she say to us? I now have empathy. I see everyone as a hurt person. I want to spread what the Lord did for me. Wouldn't that be amazing that if we just did this, I'm in the Messiah. That's my identity. My Messiah is I'm a child of the living King, and I have an Abba. I have a father. Wow.
You know, the key is, and we all know this, do people, when we share the hope, do they perceive that we have love in our heart?
Oh.
Are we compassionate? Are we? And I'm sure, Michael, when you shared with that family about the holidays, it's how they perceived what you said. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't that you were abrasive or caustic or you shouldn't do this or that. But yeah, it's. I think we just got to have that
humanity.
Yeah. Well, we just got to have that. Humbleness and I believe it's a spirit led thing. We must be able to allow the spirit. When the spirit is leading, good things will happen.
How does that happen?
When we get in the flesh and our flesh starts getting in the way because we're so zealous and we want them just to, don't you understand?
Yeah.
You know? And,
well, there is such a thing. Misery loves company. Okay. There is such a thing. Okay, in fact, what did Yeshua say to the Pharisees? You're going to make them all devils like you. I mean, come on. We're going to be right back.
Listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the nations.
Hey!
Hey! Hey!
Hey!
Hey! Hey! Hey! Hey! Hey! Hey! Hey!
I know. We got a smile off of Michael's face.
Man, that was fun.
That's been around for a long time, you guys.
I've done that in the last many years, but it's just been by myself.
All by myself.
Don't want to be.
I know, right? Wow. We've covered a lot of territory, you guys.
Yeah, just the surface.
You know, but solutions, you know, we started talking about that over the break. I mean, we've been able to pinpoint a little bit, and I know this is, everything's being condensed really quickly, but we've been pinpointing problems that we see about this identity thing and why we could probably be facing divisions, accusations, anger, hurt within congregations. It's because we haven't found our identity. We maybe think it belongs somewhere else. I know Michael was saying here before the break is we put on a new way of thinking, okay? But we haven't necessarily been converted. You know, we've been reverted or something, but we haven't been converted. And what does converted look like? Maybe that's our solution. I know that many times, I know you guys have met it too. I mean, people come into the Hebrew Roots and they immediately think they have to dress a certain way, talk a certain way, behave a certain way, sing a certain way, dance a certain way, and it becomes denominationalism all over again. I'm right, you're wrong, everything else, you know. So where's the empathy? Where's the understanding? Give you another example. I mean, the disciples of old, they came up with solutions. When Paul was bringing people back into the synagogues, they're saying, they got to do all these things right, you know. But Paul and James said, hey, now let's slow this up a little bit, you know. Let's only stay in four areas, all right? But does it even start there? I think the solution starts with yourself, and I want to see what you guys have to say about this. We're told to worship the Lord your God with?
All your heart.
Soul.
All your soul.
Mind. Uh-huh. And strength. Does that sound like a solution?
Yeah, I mean, if you do that, you know, if we're truly doing that, I really believe everything will begin to fall into place. And, you know, again, we were talking about it earlier. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness. He commands us. If we can't forgive, are we going to live an abundant life?
And that word is interesting.
Of animosity and malice towards our fellow man, are we going to truly be able to live in shalom, peace?
It's not just that. It's over righteousness. See, the thing that I've seen within these churches is this zealousness of over righteousness, very similar to when Paul was Saul. When the Apostle Paul was Saul, he thought he was right.
Yeah.
And by doing that, he went out and massacred people, destroyed them.
Thought he was doing Abba a favor.
He was a Torah terrorist.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like most of us in our first 2 years in you know, Messianic. But interesting, the word forgive, you know, just, I'm trying to think of the etymology of it, but to forgive, you know, when you think of give, you think of a couple different things. One could be giving a gift to someone, and that gift is a release. It's, I no longer hold on to this, this bondage, which is, enmity and animosity against my brother, but also what is the gift you receive? You're also free from that. You know, forgiveness is, I believe, the root of many, many issues. And obviously, if you look at the physiology of man, the brain can literally through hormones and different things like cortisol. Wow. Uh-huh. For some reason, where was that? So heightened cortisol, you know, pumping from the adrenal glands, and eventually can go into a cytokine storm and develop lifelong, what they would say incurable, but autoimmune diseases. Uh-huh. You could be so stressed in your brain through the experiences in your mind, through the experiences you receive from your eyes, that you can give yourself Crohn's disease.
Absolutely.
And you go, well, people aren't doing this on purpose.
No.
But when we are harvesting and holding on, and a lot of people actually perceive it as empowerment. I know a lot of women that say, oh, well, you know, this guy was unfaithful to me or whatever, so I'll never trust a guy again. Or if I do, I'm always going to look at his phone every evening.
Wow,
and all these things.
True.
And they feel that they are empowered. Mm-hmm. They hold on to their pain
it's
and
their
anguish.
Identity. It becomes that
it
identity.
It becomes their identity. And eventually that leads down a path of physical ailment, an imbalance in the body. So it's like a disease. Unforgiveness literally manifests itself in cancers and different things. It is a disease. But so when you forgive, you're giving the gift to them, and you're also receiving a gift of freedom. And who are we to not forgive each other if God has forgiven each other? Mm-hmm. Right? In scripture it says, receive those who the Lord has received. Who has the Lord received? Anybody who accepts. Mm-hmm. So why would we not? Are we better than God? Are we?
For some, yes.
Well, that's why he commands us. Mm-hmm. He knows freedom. Mm. It's giving up the right to hurt the person back that hurt us. Giving up that right. Mm-hmm. I did that. Yeah? You don't know what he did to me.
Yeah, right.
No, I don't. But I know the one that does. And, you know, can you let it go? Can you put it at the foot of the tree and leave it?
Yeah.
Not pick it up again, but leave it there.
That's
when you can learn to do that, I really believe you'll walk in freedom. That's why.
But can you do that without loving the Lord your God, without loving Abba first?
I don't know if you can. I don't believe you can do it in your own strength.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know.
Can you do it in your own humility and weakness?
Right.
You know, we brought up during the break, and let's just look at these here for a minute. And Michael was saying some cool things here, and so is Rick. When we were looking at solutions about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, what does that actually mean in the Hebrew tense? You know, many times, why do we look at it? You know, many times people go, well, you're looking at it in the Hebrew tense to be really right, and you're all being scholarly and blah, blah, blah. You know, but actually, you know, if it was written in Hebrew, we should probably try to get the nuance of what it meant or a picture to kind of see what were they actually trying to say to us. Okay, what's the picture that could be there?
It's not a better context necessarily, but it's the original context.
Yeah,
which can hit us on a deeper level
or change our perception.
Oh yeah, I mean there's
could change our perception.
That's how the Bible is. The Bible is to shift us and to give us a new perception, a true perception.
You know, it came to heart. There's a Hebrew word for it. You can find it in Strong's 3824. There's also, many times people might think differently because they use different sources. It means labib, okay? The most interior organ or yourself, the most interior thing of yourself. Sometimes people even view this as the heart or the stomach. Many times people say, well, I feel queasy in my stomach, or, you know, my gut says not to do this.
Yeah,
all right?
Gut feeling.
You know, I got a gut feeling.
I got a gut feeling. I'm hungry.
Right? And so that becomes then your authority. It's the lamed, bet, and bet. So when you think of it, the lamed is authority, bet is the house. Okay? So it doesn't just list the house once, it lists the house twice in this word.
Wow.
Okay? So I would be asking myself, what authority am I giving in my house? So when it tells me to love the Lord my God with all my heart, that's where it starts. I have to first say, what authority am I allowing to come into my house? Isn't that a cool picture?
Well, and that's the only, your house is the only thing you have control over. What comes into our homes, see?
Yeah.
And it's appalling to me what some people allow, I'm talking about his people, to come into the house.
Yeah.
And all I have to do is count for me. I don't have to work out what they're doing. You know,
amen.
Yeah.
Right?
So if I can just not worry about what they're doing, just do, you know, just lead.
Yeah, because we're talking about each individual here right now.
That's
first.
Right.
We're not fixing the world until you fix your own house, right?
Changing the world starts at home.
Change starts at home. Jordan Peterson, you got it. Change
what?
The world.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah,
did I quote him again?
Yeah, you did.
What about stop and pet a cat? Isn't that, is like step 12? I've never got that one. Take the time to stop and pet a cat. Cats don't want to be pet.
No, they,
are you kidding?
I don't know. I just had one rub up against my leg the other day, would not stop it, and I kept kicking it away.
I was a mean kitty.
I need help, Michael, because I didn't stop to
pet
the cat.
I didn't know you had a cat. I thought you had a cat. You saw that crazy dog?
No, this is not my cat. It's somebody else's cat.
Someone else's cat wouldn't leave you alone.
And, yeah, and I didn't want the cat, man.
Well, did you tell it?
Yeah.
How you felt? Well, the identity and perception of the cat was that you were somebody who liked cats. And that's very important to the cat.
I know. We're not leaving. Evidently felt love coming from me, and I kept telling her.
More that, heat.
Yeah.
They just, like, they just, they're kind of... Yeah, sociopaths. I have one. Yeah, I mean, the Hebrew breakdown of to love the Lord your God with all your, you know, heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is, I mean, one version later on, we see this, the soul, the nefesh part, the soul part.
The spirit.
We see that in the New Testament, the Brit Chadasha, but of course in the Torah, it skips it. But here we see it, the nefesh, the breath. The life breath. And that's interesting because, you know, a lot of people get really worried about their identity is in a lot of conspiracy. You ever seen somebody do what I call YouTube dumpster diving or YouTube bottom feeding?
Uh-huh.
And I, to give them credit, you're looking up a good gefilte fish recipe, which doesn't exist, by the way. And you're looking up a good, you know, matzo brie recipe and you leave YouTube on. You ever do that on autoplay?
Yeah, oops.
And an hour later, all of a sudden you better not, you know, drink the water is going to calcify your pineal gland before the reptoids come on planet Nibiru. And it's like, and then you're like, wait, what shape is the earth now? A hexagon? An oregon? I don't know. And so it's like, within an hour, you're on this weird part of YouTube and your identity's messed up because everything is assimilation all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So be careful. Do not feed off the bottom of YouTube. You know, it'll be a bottom feeder. But where was I going with
it? Well, it affects our spirit. You were talking about nefesh.
Thank you. And so, it's your focus.
You.
So thank you. So when people consume the fear tactics nonstop and a lot of conspiracy theory stuff nonstop, their focus is focused on the wrong thing. You know, I always say if I visit, you know, a congregation, I'm having dinner with people and I hear, you know, Ishtar and, you know, and Tammuz, more than I hear Yeshua, I know where their focus is.
Oh,
so
yeah.
People worry about the mark of the beast. Everyone thought it was the COVID thing for a second or the vaccine for a second. But the mark of the beast is a sign upon a hand, on your hand, and is frontlets between your eyes.
Oh.
What else is a sign upon your hand and frontlets between your eyes?
Oh.
The words of the Lord. We see that in the Shema, in the Vafta.
Uh-huh.
The Lord has said, put my word and put me as a sign on your hands, which is your actions and your worship, and as frontlets between your eyes, which is your focus.
Uh-huh.
And the Jewish tefillin, when we wrap and bind those two boxes, it's a sign upon our hands, frontlets between your eyes, and it's those verses.
Uh-huh.
And so if you have the marks of the Lord on you, I believe you have no room for the marks of the beast.
Uh-huh.
You're already marked. Why? You have no space. You are owned by God. You know, my mom had a couple miscarriages before me, and she really wanted to get pregnant. So she got pregnant. She prayed. And my mom hasn't been much of a religious, you know, faith woman her life. And she gets pregnant with me, and she goes in for a checkup, and they say, sorry, there's no brain activities. His heart's not beating. He passed.
Huh.
And so sorry. And she cried, and she prayed, and I came back.
Huh.
Another time, she had fallen and fell on her belly, ran to the hospital. They said, sorry, you lost the baby. We're going to go ahead and pull him out. And she prayed and cried, and I came back. And she said, God, if this baby survives, I'm going to give him to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my mom didn't know about the pidyon habin, the buying back of the firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't buy back the firstborn, according to the Torah, which is paying the temple, which we don't have one right now. We'll talk, you know, we'll have one a little bit later.
Another topic.
then that child, the firstborn son, literally, biblically belongs to God, not the mother or the father.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm born. My mom doesn't know what to do. She's not a member of a church. She goes to the nearest church and says, okay, I commit this baby to God. This is a better word, not donate.
Yeah.
Anyway, she goes, I commit
this. It's already been donated.
Yeah. And so there's a realization in my life. It just took me many, many, many years to figure it out, right, that I love my parents, but I belong to the Father.
To Abba.
And you could try to identify with a million different things and titles, and especially what other people tell you. For some reason, a lot of people were very Mm-hmm. You know, we pretend like we're really tough. You ever heard, whenever I hear someone say, I don't care what someone says to me, I know who I am. The moment somebody says something that bugs them, they melt like a snowflake. Mm-hmm. I go, it's the toughest skinned people that are the weakest on the inside, you know, and so.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just got to say this because I want to draw it back to you because you brought this up with Nefesh.
Mm-hmm.
God is spirit. We worship God in spirit. Spirit is what gave us life. I just want to prove your point with Nefesh. It means to take a breath or to be breathed upon. It's with the noon, the pay, and the sheen. Now get a hold of this thing because you love this with the Hebrew. The noon mean life. Mm-hmm. Pay meaning to speak. Mm-hmm. And sheen meaning to consume.
Love it.
What are we consuming? What are we speaking? And what life is coming into us?
Or are we consuming death and fear?
Exactly.
Fear tactics. You know, I got to this point where I'm like, I don't care who's president. I know who's king.
Right.
You know, I go, yeah, maybe we get a Nebuchadnezzar or a Cyrus or, you know, a Herod once in a while, but I know who's king.
Yeah.
I know the kingdom I serve.
Yeah. If that spirit is aligned this way, if we're in a solution, then I think my flesh and my heart, my gut, everything gets in alignment. Because he's spirit first, and I'm spirit first. I came from him, therefore I'm in spirit. My spirit needs to be in alignment. Mm. What does that look like? Rick, what do you got?
Well, I'm just thinking, even our situation, you know, trying to pull up and leave the state, people say, aren't you frightened? I mean, you know what I found out? Negativity renders us immobile.
Oh, wow. Right?
You start getting fearful and
you just stand.
You can't do anything. Well,
petrified. So petrified means.
Yeah, it does. It renders you immobile when you focus on all the darkness that's happening instead of focusing on him, keeping him being our total, not being distracted by all of these things that are happening. And they're happening everywhere, all over the world. The Bible says they would. But, you know, I'm just putting it in novice hands, and I don't know how it's going to come out. But I know the one that does. And so the thing is, like you said, Mike, we have to be focusing more on Yeshua than all these other things.
Yeah.
Then we'll be able to proceed on and be able to be used.
And what's possible versus what's impossible. Is it okay to say that being afraid of change is being scared shiftless?
Thank you for being kosher.
Yeah, I keep that one a little bit. Man, I'm scared shiftless. It's when you want willing to change, but you know it's interesting. You think of like hoarding, and you think of all these things and addiction. You know, a lot of people go, Well, I'm just a sinner saved by, I almost said that in a southern accent. Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And I go, why are you identifying as a sinner?
Right.
Are you kidding? We're called to be perfect and perfected for God, for he is perfect. And I go, stop it. You know, we're called to be holy for he is holy. People, well, no one's perfect. Well, there was someone. And we're called to be, 1 John 2:6, if you say you got abide, no, I'm not doing it verbatim, if you say you abide with the Father and he abides in you, you ought walk just as Messiah walked. I'm like, you're supposed to follow his example. That's what a disciple does to a rabbi.
Or to take his covering. I am a son of Abba. I am his son. I belong to this kingdom. Therefore, I allow him to cover me.
You know the word Baruch. You know, a lot of people, you know, if they visit a synagogue and they say, why do people say, blessed are you, Baruch atah Adonai? Why are they like doing this weird it's davening, right? Where we're bending our knee and bowing forward certain parts. And they go, why do people do that? But the word Baruch means, the word blessed means to bend the knee and bow. So all we're doing in a synagogue is doing what we're saying. And it's kind of weird. You think about it and you say, God bless you. God bend his knee and bow to you.
Yep.
How atrocious that we would ever say this, but how interesting that he came down in flesh and did that and washed our feet.
He did.
And for us to have any lack of self-esteem, not cockiness and arrogance, mm-hmm. but for us to have any lack of identity is not sane. Mm-hmm. When he came down in the flesh and died so that he could remarry his bride,
mm-hmm.
we should have no lack of understanding, of who we are in the kingdom of the Father, and we should have no hold back when it comes to forgiving each other when we've been forgiven, mm-hmm. and giving each other the grace and kindness, chesed, that we have been shown by the Father. We have absolutely no, we have lots of excuses, but none of them are good when it comes to having an improper identity.
Speaking of flesh, since you brought it up, yes, I love you, Lord your God, with heart, your heart, soul, and might, or strength, it depends on the versions.
Mm-hmm.
The Hebrew word for that is miod.
Wow.
Yep. It means do it diligently, wholly, and with ferment. I mean, to just come from your very soul. That's the mem, the aleph, and the dalet.
Mm.
Okay? Massive, strength, and pathway. The dalet's that open pathway.
Yeah.
So now what we're seeing, you just convinced me of that again, and says, Rick, if my heart is in line, if my spirit is in line, then my flesh can walk out not in fear, but in strength with a pathway that's open, and I can claim I am the child of the living King. I think many times that we put these things backward. We try to do it in our own flesh first. That doesn't work. I've been there, done that.
We do some dumb stuff sometimes.
I got to take care of that inside first. I got to take care of my house first. And that's what it starts with on this text. What's the authority of your house? What's the alignment of your spirit? And then now you can walk forward in strength. What a commandment he gave us in Deuteronomy. I mean, that's awesome. Just weird stuff that God knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because our identity has to be this balance between ability and humility. You know, with Yeshua, you know, through Messiah, can I say Christ?
Yes.
Can I say Christ? Are people going to be offended? People are offended by Galatians, apparently.
I know, right?
So through Christ, you know, we can do all things. A lot of people misinterpret that by, you know, which cars they can have.
I know, right? You got to love it.
But we shouldn't throw it out because some people mess it up, right? So I can do all things through Christ, right? So there is ability.
According
to his will. So
his
there riches. Is... ability and responsibility there. What's responsibility? The ability to respond, right? The ability to act. But then there's also this humility, which is that baruch. It is that bowing and reverence. And to go under someone's covering, you have to bow a little bit.
We feel that sometimes. You know, it talks to us about elders and things within the church, and it actually asks people to be humble towards their teachers. To come on with a healing spirit, that's weird, isn't it? Well, especially in a modern day America, we're all holy, right? That was the sin of who? That was the guy who came before Moses, right? We're all holy.
Korach.
Who put you in charge?
This is what I've been saying. I said, you know, Roland, don't forget, you are unique, individual, and special,
mm-hmm.
just like everybody else.
I know, right? Wow. Rick, what else can you add to this? We're at the very close.
You know,
we should do this again in 7 years.
Yeah, right.
10 years.
We'll do it again.
Or has it been 10 years?
It's been a while.
Start?
Back in 2010.
Wow.
You know?
Back when people knew what bathroom to use. I mean, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. So,
wow.
You guys, I want to inspire you. Get someone to tune in to Hebrew Nation Radio online. Go to our webpage. You'll be able to find the teachers. Be blessed.
Bless you, Yeshua.
From the living word, his light now shines, the darkness must flee.